Data Bytes. Hello everyone, welcome to our latest episode of Dinodo Data Bytes. I'm your host Neha, and our guest this week is Saptarshi Sengupta, aka Sapta, who's our Director of Product Marketing here at Dinodo. Sapta is responsible for leading Dinodo's worldwide product marketing, customer marketing, content marketing, analyst and press relations, among other things. Sapta brings in a wide range of industry knowledge, including 2 decades of engineering, product management, and marketing leadership experience. Welcome to our show, Sapta. Great to have you on board. Before we discuss data virtualization for operationalizing data lakes, could we learn a little bit about you and your experience in the tech industry?
Hi, Neha. Thanks for having me here. And thanks for that fantastic introduction. So audience, as Neha mentioned, I have been in the tech industry for a couple of decades now. And when I say tech industry, Neha, I actually, as my resume says, I have tested the water, starting from semiconductor to networking gears and switches in a company like Cisco. And recently, I have been in the software industry, including Dinodo. And as it relates to product marketing, it has been various flavors. So I have mostly been in B2B business, which is like business to business type of a business for most of my career. But there was a little bit of a time when I also spent some time in B2C. They have their various different flavors of marketing. And when you are in semiconductor industry, it's mostly like less of this funnel marketing the way we do here in Dinodo. But over the years at Cisco and in Dinodo, I have been doing a lot of this funnel marketing. Now, how it has evolved is fantastic. I mean, even like 8-10 years back, there was not a lot of like digitization of things. There was not a lot of social media as we know it today. So the core fundamentals of marketing has remained the same, but the channel through which we reach out to our customers, get to hear our customer voice, etc., because of this like big bang of social media and digitization of businesses, that has proliferated a lot. And it's very easy to reach out to our customers, listen to our customers, what they want from us, what product enhancement they want, what type of customer experience we are offering them. So in a nutshell, yeah, that has been the evolution, and looking forward to like many more fun years in product marketing. Back to you, Neha.
Yes, I definitely agree with you there, Sapta, that the channels of reaching our customers have changed over the past few years. And also that the customer communication process has evolved over the years so much in terms of getting their feedback or understanding their product expectations, I'd say. So in your opinion, how has product marketing for tech specifically evolved over the years?
Yeah, so now when we talk about tech being evolving, and this is another thing. So I went to business school and we learned product marketing, or rather marketing in a certain way. But those type of marketing, when they talk about like the 4 P's and 3 C's, they relate more to, as we know it, by consumer products or consumer product goods and stuff like that. Tech industry is a little different. Now, how tech industry has evolved, I would like to think is that, again, in my previous answer, what I said, for tech industry also the channel and the medium has proliferated extensively, right? So even though tech marketing has its own flavor, but I think we are able to reach out to our customers. Like, as you know, within Dinodo, Neha, we have a very strong digital marketing team. We have a very strong social media team. Our customers actually are creating WhatsApp groups. As you know, in India, we have a very strong WhatsApp group of Dinodo users where they voice their opinion. We are part of that WhatsApp group. We get to hear from them what's working, what's not working. They share their best practices with each other. We are creating more and more user group all over the world. So I'd like to think, again, from tech marketing standpoint, tech industry standpoint, that evolution, digital evolution and social media evolution is actually moving in the right direction, helping marketers like us immensely. Hopefully that answers what you were looking for.
Thanks, Sapta. It totally does. I'd say that digitization has surely changed the methods of product marketing for the better. So tell us a little bit about logical data lakes and if the next digital revolution will be caused by logical data lakes.
Good question. So I will touch upon what logical data lake is before that. Maybe, I mean, most of our audience should know what a data lake is, but I can touch upon that a little bit. Data lake, what is logical data lake? And then we can talk about the digital revolution or not. So a data lake, as we know, is a sort of a flavor of data repository. So in a layman's term, data warehouses are where data is much more relational, structured. They're special purpose, hardware, software-wise, and for a particular type of application where super fast turnaround time is required, performance is utmost importance, data warehouses are used. Data lake is where things are not very relational, not very structured. Social media data, field data, all these things come, and this more like, again, layman's term, dumping ground of data, raw data. And people keep data in data lake for future use or advanced analytics type of an use where things are not foreseen, unforeseen future needs, right? Now, logical data lake, the concept is this, that all of the data that is associated with the data lake is not physically stored in one place. There might be a physical data lake behind the scenes, but there is more than that, and everything is tied together in a logical fashion. That's the whole high-level concept of logical data lake. Now, your other part of the question was, is that going to be the next digital revolution caused by logical data lakes? I would like to think digital revolution is a very broad term, because there are so many things happening. This cloud transition, data science, advanced analytics, etc., etc. So everything together, there is a huge digital revolution happening. Is data lake part of it? Of course. A lot of companies, all our customers, pretty much all of our customers are spending some time doing advanced analytics, data science. Data has become the backbone of pretty much every major industry. So yes, data lake and this logical data lake, of course, will play a very important role in digital revolution, the thing that we are going through. Is that the next big thing? That might be a little bit of a like overstatement, but I still agree with you. Yes, logical data lake will be a very important piece of the puzzle. Hopefully that kind of clarifies.
Thanks, Apta. Yes, so you'd say logical data lake is a crucial aspect, and it's good to understand the difference between data warehouse, where the data is stored in a more structured way, and the data lake, where we can access a huge amount of raw data, as you mentioned before. And that logical data lakes kind of helps in connecting this data from various data sources, right? So what is the difference between a physical data lake and a logical data lake?
Sure, good question. Very good question, Neha. So a physical data lake, as the name suggests, is like data actually really resides there. It takes memory, it takes space, so it takes storage. So in a physical data lake, Neha, what happens is that whether it's on premises or in the cloud, as you know, like there is data center and then there is cloud, public cloud basically, you capture data from like the field, there is data coming, geospatial data, social media data, all sorts of type of data. And you take all this data and you have this humongous storage capacity, whether it's in your data center or in the public cloud, and you store that raw data physically. And that's the concept of physical data lake. Now, in case of logical data lake, there probably is some sort of a physical data lake behind the scenes. There is some physical data lake that the company has created, whether it's in public cloud or in their data center, depending on the scenario. But there is more to it. So in the logical data lake, what happens is that there is a logical connection between the data lake and few other data sources that provides context to the data lake data. So when people are kind of doing some sort of reporting analytics or advanced analytics, data science, whatever with that data, they not only are taking the data from the data lake, but they are also taking help from the data from different other data sources. Now, in case of a physical data lake, that data gets combined in reality, and so that takes up even more storage, and you replicate the data constantly. In case of a logical data lake, there is very less data replication, if at all, other than the fact that initially wherever the data is stored. And that's the biggest difference between the physical and logical data lake. So one is physical data lake is more costly, less compliant to all sorts of like compliance rules because you're replicating data. There is always a risk of data leakage, information leakage like PII information and all. Whereas in case of a logical data lake, those risks are less because you are not moving data too much, you are not replicating data too much. So these are the major difference at a very high level between physical and logical data lake. Yeah.
So with logical data lakes, data privacy is a big thing there. So a very minimal chance of data replication with this method, as you mentioned. Also, I really liked how you explained how logical data lakes not only collects data from the data lake itself, but also connects various data silos together, including physical data lakes and as well as cloud storage. Did I get that right?
Yeah, so it basically can have a physical data lake, whether that data lake is in cloud or on premises. But beyond that, there can be other data silos where you are not actually bringing that data again into a data lake or some sort of a repository. On the fly, you are actually now making virtual views, creating virtual views of the data, combining the data, but in a virtual sense, not in the physical sense. So yeah, you pretty much got it right.
Right, got it. So changes can be made in a virtual sense as well, totally. So then what are some challenges with data lakes?
Again, a very good question. So the data lake, the way we know it today, so just a little bit of a history, Neha. Data lakes have been created historically because a lot of time there is this really valuable data. Like nowadays, people are using more data for data science, advanced analytics and all. But historically, what has happened is that companies, there were certain amount of data which were kept in data warehouse. Companies knew exactly what the purpose of that data is and how they want to use that data. Then there was this huge chunk of a huge set of data coming from various different sources, different endpoints. Companies did not know how to use that data for advanced analytics. Data science or whatever future business use case. They just knew that in the future that data might be valuable. So instead of throwing out that data, they wanted to keep all this data in some sort of a data dumping ground, and that's what became data lake. Now operationalizing that data, really to make that data useful, you need to really kind of understand how to use it. You need to build an advanced analytics team, data science team, and which is happening as we speak across the industry, across different companies. Now, the challenge is this. You are like now using terabytes and terabytes of data storage, not knowing even if you can use that data in the future. So you are spending so much money not knowing whether there will be usage of that data at all or not. Then let's say you have operations across the world and you want similar type of data in various parts of the world, the same business. There are companies who have like operations in 10 different places. You are again replicating that data lake to another place to see in that other part of the world if you can use the same data from the data lake, etc., etc. So this is the replication and expense and total cost of ownership shooting up. Those are the things we're talking about. That has been a huge challenge. Another big problem is that just getting the data from data lake is a very big deal for data scientists and all. Like there was no easy way historically to find that data. So there is a statistics where people say 80% of the time data scientists and advanced analytics people, they spend finding the data instead of building the models and whatnot. That's their actual job, right? Now, that has been the biggest challenge for data lake. And that's where we are talking about this concept of logical data lake and how that is solving the data lake problems that has been around for quite some time. Does that make sense, Neha? Did that answer your question?
Absolutely, Sapta. So to sum it up, logical data lakes helps in saving time, cost, resources in terms of transferring or managing raw data and storing them for a potential future use. So how to build a logical data lake then with data virtualization? Is that the solution we are looking for?
Yes, absolutely. So if you talk to people, I mean, logical data lake, there are multiple ways to look at it, how you can build a logical data lake. But one of the most prominent ways to build a logical data lake is using data virtualization. So as you know, Neha, when we use data virtualization, it basically creates an abstraction layer on top of data sources. Behind the scene, there might be a data lake, there can be a lot of other silos and data sources, and this can be distributed across cloud, on premises, and everything. So plain vanilla and simple, in simple terms, the way we know logical data warehouse, where data virtualization sits on top of lots of data sources, connects to them, and creates a logical data warehouse. Very simply put, a logical data lake can be created with data virtualization, where you put a data virtualization layer like Denodo platform on top of a lot of sources, one or couple of them being a data lake, that together creates a logical data lake. So that's how basically, very simple, you build a logical data lake with data virtualization.
That explains it perfectly, Sapta. So can you now share a case study with us where a business has benefited from adopting a logical data lake for their data consumption needs? You can be as specific as you'd like to be.
Sure. This can be a very short answer. There are multiple of our customers who are doing the same thing, and I can just call out one or two customer names. Specifically, the one that comes to mind is one of our customer, Autodesk. Pretty much everybody across the world knows about them. They are this huge 3D CAD design company. Like if you have watched Avatar movie, Autodesk was behind that entire graphics and all. So yeah, they're huge worldwide. So they actually wanted to change their business model from perpetual licensing to subscription licensing. It touched various different departments, including finance and HR and technology and everything. In that process, they had historically built a data lake. They had historically had their data warehouse, just the way we spoke earlier, and they had many other sources of information. In fact, they were bringing in geospatial data, they were bringing in social media data from their customers and all, exactly the way we spoke earlier. And what Autodesk did is they actually put that Denodo layer on top of their data lake, data warehouse, field data that was directly coming from the field, social media data, geospatial data and all. And that's how they created a logical data lake. And then it was consumed through Tableau. They had multiple different consuming applications for various different departments. And they actually almost entirely moved everything to the cloud. Right now, they're almost in the cloud. Denodo resides in the cloud. There are probably some things going on premises. So it's more like a hybrid ecosystem. And that's one of the stories I keep telling. That's a very prominent story of logical data lake in use in one of our customer organizations. So hopefully that helps.
Thank you for the Sapta. We prefer to take a deep dive into the practical application of each topic that we talk about here, and hence the use cases come into the picture. So this has been an awesome session. It was great learning about all things logical data lakes from you. Before we wrap it up, we would like to do a quick Q&A round with you. So are you ready?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. So the first question is, what kind of music do you like?
I actually, when it comes to music, I don't know whether there is a good term for it, but I would like to say omnivore. I absolutely love music. Actually, I am from eastern part of India, and there is a saying in eastern part of India, it's called West Bengal, that every other house or every household has somebody who has some inclination towards music. So that's how I grew up. I never was taught music, so to say. But my dad plays violin, my aunt plays sitar and whatnot. So I have an ear for music. I like Indian classical, I like Western classical. I have started loving country music a lot after coming to the US. So again, I'm a pretty omnivore for music.
That's great to know. So I had the perfect question lined up for you then.
Absolutely.
So the next question is, what's something you're proud of?
One thing that comes to my mind, if I say it properly, is that you may already know I have twin daughters who are 2.5 years old. And when they were born, right after that, we got into this unfortunate COVID phase. And last 2 years have not been very easy for any of us across the world. But as we have gone through this tough couple of years, I was home handling these kids. At the same time, my team was growing. Denodo is growing. This is just fantastic. We have been doing amazing. We are going through a really strong growth spurt. And so there has been a very interesting work-life balance that I had to strike. Now, as we are coming out of that COVID phase, things are settling down, but I think I feel pretty proud with the help of colleagues like you, support from my own family and support from my friends and everyone. We have come out very strong and kind of was able to balance family life, work, everything, and everything went so well. So that's what I can think of. I don't know whether that answers your question.
But I think you've done a commendable job, you know, like balancing work and personal life.
Thank you.
So kudos to you.
You're very kind.
And finally, a last question. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Actually, that's the easiest question for me tonight. So as you know, you asked me when we should do this podcast, and I chose late night, which is 11 to 12 p.m., like 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. PST, California time, over a morning time. And actually, everybody across Denodo knows this. Like all my teammates, they ask me, do you even sleep throughout the night? So I'm absolutely a night owl. I wake up in the morning too. Interestingly, not too late, maybe 6:30, but I can literally go until like 3:30 at times when it is required. But without any exception, I'm awake till like 12:31 a.m. every night doing work. So I'm a night owl.
You're right. I think all of us within Denodo could have guessed that one. So absolutely spot on. So this has been a really fun session, Sapta. Thank you for taking us on this data journey today.
Of course, Neha. More than happy to be on this session. It was really fun talking to you, as always. Great session. Happy to share like my thoughts on this. And thanks for having me here.
And a quick message to our listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.